in the field. He knew how to play that harp. He had an anointing on him. But when somebody else played, guess what? David said, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. And on the way back, he was praising God till he danced out of his clothes, made his wife mad. He said, that's okay. I can get more vile than this. If you think that made you mad, you just wait till next Sunday and watch me praise God some more. I wish I had some people that say, I can get more vile than this. I can praise God tomorrow. I'll praise him in the morning. I'll wake you up. You don't make me shut my mouth, because if it hadn't been for God, David said, oh, magnify the Lord. Look at the invitation. We went from a celebration himself to an invitation. And sometimes we need to invite people into our praise party. Tell them, come on, you got something to praise God for. Let's praise him together. So David started out in a solo, but then he said, let's have a symphony. Let's go get together and all praise the Lord. He invites others to praise along with him. And because he was in the cave, notice where he was.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, surrounded but not surrendered. Surrounded but not surrendered. This is a fascinating story that begins in the 8th verse, and it's a story that helps us to understand that when you are on the Lord's side, no matter who or what or where your enemies are, they've got to deal with God before they deal with you. The story goes that the Syrian king wanted to come against the Israel army. And he had a desire to overtake the Israelis. And he wanted to make sure that is ringing out of your plea. He wanted to make sure that he ambushed them to try and catch them off guard. And he would set an ambushment. But every time he set a place and a time to ambush the Israelites, something would go wrong. What was interesting was every time he made his plans, the man of God by the name of Elisha, some say Elisha, but Elisha heard those plans, and he told the king of Israel, watch out. The Syrian king has set an ambushment up for you here and there and every place that the king had set up an ambushment. And so the king became deeply disturbed, and he called in all of his men, and he said, I want to know which one of you is for the king of Israel. And his servant said, nay, my lord, none of us. But the king of Israel has a prophet, a man of God, who's telling the king of Israel all your secrets, even in your bedchamber. So the king of Syria said, who is this prophet? And he said, well, we believe him to be Elisha, and we believe he lives in the province of Dothan. And the king said, well, I tell you what you do. Find out where he is, and then I want you to go down there and take him captive. We need a man like this on our side. And so he sent his men out. And the Bible picks up in verse 15 where the servant of Elisha came out early that morning, and he's getting a breath of fresh air and stretching. And looks and sees all around the mountain horses and chariots, that they are surrounded. They're surrounded. And he begins to freak out. He becomes fearful and scared. And he goes back in and he calls for Elisha to come out and to see this. And he asks, how shall we do, master? How shall we do? In other words, what he was saying was, how we're going to make it out of this? We're surrounded. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. How are we going to make it out of this? And the Bible says in verse 16 that he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, my brothers and sisters, if you don't get nothing else I say today, hold on to that. Because as a believer, you need to know that they that be with us are more than they that be against us in this world. See, there are some things that you've got to know in your heart of hearts. You've got to be sure of. You've got to be confident about. You've got to know that God's got this thing fixed. God has got this thing fixed. You've got to know this, that he's going to allow some things to come up, some trials, some tribulations, some situations. But in the midst of that, he's going to show you and your enemy he's still God all by himself. Now, I want you to focus, if you don't mind, on the servant and the prophet Elisha right quickly. I want you to see this, because that was some things that I picked up in the text that I want to share with you. They were surrounded, but they were not surrendered. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Let me help you. Elisha saw that they were surrounded. And it didn't bother him. But what did bother him was he had a servant who couldn't see what he saw. What did bother him is his nature of fear when he had been with Elisha and seen him work miracles of God, and yet because it's another challenge and another test, he becomes fearful because he's looking at the numbers against him. This is the same Elisha who was the servant of Elijah. And he served Elijah faithfully and said to Elijah, after watching Elijah work miracle after miracle, he said, "My Lord, I want a double portion of your spirit." Elijah said to him, "Well, I tell you what, if you remain faithful till the end, and if you see me when God catches me up in a fiery chariot and take me on up to heaven, my mantle will fall down on you, and that means you will have a double portion of my spirit. But if you're not faithful to the end, don't think that request is going to be made, honored." And so Elisha was faithful to the end. He saw God take Elijah up in a chariot. That mantle fell on him. Elijah did 16 major miracles, but Elisha did 32. Double. Are y'all not hearing me here today? God is faithful to the faithful. I said God is faithful to the faithful. And so this is the man who knows God is not going to let him down. So he prays three prayers. First prayer is found in 17. He simply asks the Lord to open up his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened up his eyes and he saw. Point number one, he prayed because though they were surrounded, he was not surrendered to the idea of giving in to fear. Surrounded, but not surrendered to the idea of giving in to fear. So many of the people of God surrender to the fear they fear, rather than trusting and believing God and knowing that God would not leave them in a place and a situation where he could not take care of them, that God has called them for a purpose and he has a plan for their lives, and that nothing is going to happen to them until God is through enacting his plan in their lives, and they need to know that God will take care of them. The young man had been with Elisha, and for some strange reason, maybe it was the multitude of enemies. I got news for you. It doesn't matter how many are against you. Your focus is in the wrong place. Your focus should not be on those who are against you, but rather those who are with you. And see, in the flesh, the servant didn't see nobody but Elisha on his side and a mountain full of horses and chariots of the enemy circling the city and Elisha. And when God opened up his eyes, he saw something else now. He saw fiery chariots and horses surrounding Elisha more than they that surrounded the city. Now, let me put this in perspective. If one angel could slay 185,000 men in one night, don't you know Elisha had major firepower? If all they had coming against him were those surrounding him on the army, on the mountain, they were good as dead. And all Elisha had to do was say, attack. But I want you to see something here. The reason he prayed for the spiritual sight, listen, for his sighted servant. Spiritual sight for his sighted servant was for this reason. Paul made it clear when he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. See, somebody has said when you walk by sight, you see too much. And some stuff you see brings fear upon you. And when that fear comes upon you, it means you begin to doubt God. And you begin to doubt what God can do. Because if you never doubted what God could do, fear wouldn't come upon you. You'd say, God got this. I know it looks rough. I know it looks tough. I know it looks like we're not going to make it out of it. But this is another time that God's going to show himself big. Listen, he wanted him to see not with his natural eyes, his physical eyes. He wanted him to see with his spiritual eyes. He wanted him to see in the spirit realm, the supernatural realm. He wanted him to be able to see what he saw. And so when God opened up his eyes and he saw that, he knew then that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You see, let me say this to you. Whenever you are challenged and fear comes upon you, just ask the Lord, Lord, let me see with my spiritual eyes, because my natural eyes can't see how we're going to make this, how we're going to get. I don't know how we're going to do this, how we're going to get out of this. I don't see how it's going to end well for us. Lord, open up my spiritual eyes, because my natural eyes are not showing me the win. My natural eyes are not showing me the victory. I need to see with my eyes of faith. So they were surrounded but not surrendered. One, to the idea of giving in to fear. Two, they were surrounded but not surrendered to the idea of giving up on faith in God. Listen to what the prophet says, because I want you to see now, he moves from praying for the servant, opening up his eyes, to the verse 18, where he's praying to God to close the enemy's eyes. Read it, it's right there in your Bible. Verse 18, he's praying to God that God would close the Syrian army's eyes, to smite them with blindness. Blindness. So what did he pray for? He was reserved to the fact that God would suspend the sight of the Syrians for a season. Suspended their sight for a season. Now, why did he want to suspend their sight for a season? Well, because they were the enemies. They were the enemies. And I'm going to show you something as we progress into the text, because it helps us to understand how to handle our enemies. See, I know most of us just want God to kill our enemies and destroy our enemies and strike them dead and kill their mama and take out their children. And I mean, all of that. I know we want God to do all of that. But I got news for you.
God don't want us to handle all of our enemies like that. He wants us to give our enemies a chance to get right. He don't want to just kill off every enemy. Do you realize if you killed off every enemy, it wouldn't be many folk left? God, kill him. Kill her. Take her out of here. Drop her dead. When you look around, man, do you know how many folk you'd kill in a day? Folk that got on your last nerve. Folk that hurt your feelings. Folk that did this. Do you know how you would call that power to destroy folk? But Elisha shows us something here. Listen. He simply prays that God would smite them with blindness. It's a temporary thing to suspend their sight for just a season. And when they come down off the mountain, Elisha says, whoa, hey, y'all looking for the wrong man in the wrong place. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead you to where you need to go. And so he literally takes them and leads them all to the Samaritan place where the Israelite king is, into their camp. I mean, every last enemy was led into the camp of Israel. And then, notice here again, he prays a third time. The third time is that they would have supernatural sight and be shown salvation. Because what he wants for them is to know they're messing with the wrong people. Are y'all hearing me here? See, some folk don't know they're messing with the wrong folk. Some of your enemies don't know who you are and whose you are, and they're messing with the wrong folk. Barking up the wrong tree, making mess with the wrong man, handling the wrong people wrong. And so this is a lesson that we need to get out of this, my brothers and sisters. So when he leads them all safely into the camp of Israel, and the Israelite king is right there with his sword drawn, ready to kill every one of them, Elisha prays a third time and asks the Lord to open up their eyes that they may see where they are. And when God opened up their eyes, they saw that they were in the camp of Israel. Now, you know they knew that that was present death. It was just a matter of time before the armies of Israel struck and killed each one of them. They were expecting that because that's what you do in war. But Elisha said, when the king said, Father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Shall I? He got so excited, he wanted to start killing right then. He wanted to be the first one to start killing. And Elisha said, hold on, wait a minute. Wait. You don't kill a prisoner of war. You didn't lift your hand to bring one of these men in here. And you mean to tell me you want to kill him now? He said, no. Tell you what you do. You put bread and water before them. Show your enemies some kindness. Show your enemies that you're bigger than them. Show your enemies that death could have been today, but that you chose to let them live to see another day. Now listen at this. Though death could have been present when he released them. Listen at this well. That was a strong message that they were taking back to the Syrian king. We didn't die today, but if we mess with them again, death is impending. And so look at what he did. He set a fabulous feast. A fabulous feast before the enemy. And allowed them to partake and eat and drink as much as they wanted. And when they got full, he sent them on their way. Now, what does that say to us? One, that sometimes it's better to deliver your enemies than to destroy your enemies. I said it again. It's better to deliver your enemies than to destroy your enemies. He saved them. And look what the rest of verse 23 said. No more did they come back trying to fight against Israel. Maybe they didn't make a friend, but they sure didn't have another enemy when they showed them the power of love and of faith, and that God expects us as believers and overcomers to have in him. The battle really wasn't theirs. It was the Lord's. And to somebody here today, you're going through some stuff and you've got some enemies or an enemy who is, wreaking havoc in your life. You pray about how can you deliver that enemy instead of destroying that enemy. Because here's what you need to know. The battle that is wrought against you is not yours, but the Lord's. And I've got news for you. If you let the Lord fight the battle, you will end up in victory every time. God is faithful to his people, and he will show them if they trust him, if they believe in him, if they honor him, if they yield to him, if they depend on him, he will do what he promised he would do. To God be the glory. God bless you today.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Come on, Africa, Caribbean nations, this is for you. Come on, put those hands together.